This is the Business Storytelling Show with Christoph Trapp. Name a top 20 storytelling podcast and a top 5% podcast globally, Christoph chats with thought leaders and experts to share tips and tricks that can help you tell your company's stories better to drive business results. Available wherever you listen to podcasts, live streamed on major social media channels, and part of the DB&A television network, available on most U.S. television sets and streaming on Roku and Amazon Fire. Here's Christoph with today's episode. Let's go.
Let's go. That's right. How's everyone doing? Thanks for joining me. Another episode here. Today we're going to talk about account-based marketing. And what's interesting to me when it comes to account-based marketing, you know, it is a strategy that works. It's also a version of personalization, of course, not in the sense of how we think about personalization on the web, you know, for your different audiences, but certainly how do we reach out to people? How do we connect with them? And how do we offer value? So I got an expert on the topic on the show today. I should mention webinsights.com. Appreciate their support of today's episode. You can check them out at webinsights.com and also the link at the bottom, bit.ly/webinsights for some of their upcoming events. Check that out. Martin Boyle is the head of content. Always glad to connect with other contenteers to talk about how do we connect with people? How do we create content that's not crap? As you guys all know, crap stands for content really annoying. We don't want that. So let's get Martin on the show here and out of the green room to get the party started. Let's go. Martin, how's it going?
Yeah, good. Thank you. Great to be on the show. Thanks for having me on.
Really, really appreciate it. So when we talk about account-based marketing, I mean, let's start at the beginning. What is it? What's your definition?
I mean, a lot of people seem to define it slightly differently. I mean, you might hear it's just B2B marketing done well or something like that. For me, I think it's a number of things. Probably, I suppose one of the biggest things is it's looking at prospects or accounts as kind of markets of one. So I think that's obviously super important. I've got business to business and business to consumer experience, and the level of personalization you can bake in with account-based marketing, you could never dream of in business to consumer, it just wouldn't financially stack up really for one, but it'd be the dream. So I suppose it makes sense on high value accounts. So you invest more of your time in and you get more value back. I suppose also it's very important to have the marketing and sales teams working together to give the best possible customer experience. So kind of sharing knowledge and working outside of your silo to give the best experience for the customer or prospect. So I think with all marketing, all good marketing anyway, it should feel like a conversation. And with ABM, you can do that with like absolute precision. So I suppose you get to know people, and then you can come up with that kind of the fun marketing ideas, create a bit of a spark, and also be effective. So that was kind of a long way around, but that's what I would say.
and that's quite all right. We like long answers here because we got to go into some depth, right, to talk about the topic for sure. Now, the one thing you mentioned, and this is definitely a trigger word for me, and I've heard it too, when people say, it's just. Yeah. And I'm like, you guys need to knock it off because nothing is just anything, right? It's this is difficult. I mean, everything account-based marketing, but just something to keep in mind.
Yep.
So when you talk about high value accounts, so certainly B2B has so many buyers. I mean, I know it already. There's so many committees, you know, you got to convince this person and that person and this person. How do you go about that? How do you even reach out to those How do you determine where to start, I guess?
Well, I mean, that is a good question. I suppose it's, you need to take a strategic approach. So it's kind of, are you literally doing one-to-one, or is it one to few? You need to consider, I suppose, how you'd start out. The approach is totally going to depend on the size of your company, the goals, the size of the business that you're going after. I think the fundamentals, however you look at it, are going to be the same whatever you're doing though, and it would be sort of, I suppose, define what your ABM goals are. You know, are you using ABM to launch a new product into the market, or do you want to target a new customer segment? Are you looking for new business or more spend from existing customers? And then I suppose it's, so I'm going a super long way around here, but it's working, you know, you work with the sales team to understand what the blockers might be and objections and that kind of thing, and then get to know your customer. So I suppose, you know, at every stage there are choices, and then, you know, is it one-to-one or is it one-to-many? And I suppose if you have, so we work with personas, so you kind of, you know, our blocks pretty much who you're going to be going after. So our main ones that we work with are sales, marketing, and customer success. So you know you've got content there to kind of back you up and to help convince. And then I suppose it's just, depending on the size of the opportunity and what your goals are, kind of playing it as you go to some extent.
I mean, most companies do have content of some kind to use. I mean, even if you haven't truly created a content strategy, I found that most companies have something to share with those accounts. Of course, it is better to have a full-fledged content strategy, if I may say so myself. Yeah. Of course, I have a little bit of a biased opinion there as a content marketer and content strategist. So when we... one to few or one to many. So basically what that means in the term of account-based marketing, that I know who the persona is at this company, right? I mean, is that how I have to think about that? And then I try to create content for those. And how does that look? Is it typically landing pages, or how do we, you know, where do you even start?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose the big advantage of ABM is it's all about personalization. So if you can find out things like, you know, where does the decision maker spend their time, you know, what channels work for them really, you know, live events, not so much at the moment, but, you know, are we going to find all the digital, you know, email, are you going to send them a gift? You know, I suppose personalization needs to be meaningful, because I think people quickly see through the kind of like the fake interest side of things. I think a lot of it is just around, you know, when it's literally a kind of a one-to-one, it's just around being human and connecting with that person. And, you know, using tools to understand your customers, because, you know, if you understand your customer, you're in the best position to help them out. So that's what I would say. What do you think, Christoph?
I mean, absolutely. And what's interesting to me though is, how do you determine what content to create? Because I see so many buyer committees, right, where you have, yes, you have the decision maker, you know, maybe a C-suite, maybe a VP, whatever it might be, but you have all these decision influencers, like, you know, at other levels. So I think you're absolutely correct. You got to figure out who are you trying to reach, and how do you kind of hit all their problem spots at the same time. Now, you have to identify them to an extent. I mean, I know there's many, many, many different tools out there, and we didn't even talk about this, but is there, like, how can you identify people? I mean, is that, how does Web Insights identify people, for example?
So, I mean,
how does that tool can help?
Oh, well, yeah, I mean, if you've got a business-to-business website and you obviously you don't know most of the eyeballs that are hitting your website, I think there's a statistic that's something along the lines of you know, 98% of the people who hit your website will never inquire with you. So you're not going to get their details and you're not going to know who they are. You've spent all of this money on, you know, digital advertising, which, you know, which is expensive, but then you're just kind of getting that 2% tip of the iceberg of the interest, and you're, and that's what you're capturing. So, I mean, Web Insights is obviously, I would say that, but it is a really useful tool, because what it does is it uses reverse IP tracking, and we have the largest business to business database in the world, I believe, and we can basically uncover who your anonymous website traffic is. And the thing that where Web Insights really excels is, especially for kind of larger enterprise businesses, it can put the opportunity that you previously didn't know you had, and it can route it to your best salesperson, for instance, or if it can tell you when a customer's come back to the website from the business IP address, and you know what they're browsing. Because I mean, business to business, people don't generally go on a business to business website for their own amusement. Normally they're doing a bit of research and then they're in the market for something. So there's loads and loads of different use cases, but that's where there's some of the main ones that will really help with ABM.
Well, typically people don't come to a B2B website for their own amusement. I think that's very true. Sometimes you kind of stumble across some interesting content, right? But it's still not truly entertainment value, right? It's something related to your job or whatnot. Earlier you mentioned marketing should be a conversation. Of course, we've had people on the show that talked about conversational marketing. But how important is it that you hit the right terminology on this account-based marketing? And also, I mean, do you want to adjust your language to specific brands, or how do you make sure they take it conversational? I mean, maybe, you know what I haven't seen, Martin, as much as account-based marketing with video, and I don't know why not. I mean, I know it's funny because everybody's so text-based still, but why couldn't you send a personalized video, you know, or whatever, like a video message? And it's, you know, it's much easier for us to be conversational when we're talking, because we are talking to each other, just to write it necessarily. So how do companies do that?
There is kind of a bit of a body of evidence that shows that, you know, video messaging works. I mean, I think it just comes down to kind of the human fundamentals of it, which is it's kind of about establishing credibility. So, you know, when you're saying about should you kind of change how you talk? Well, if that's the, you know, humans do an element of code switching. You know, you speak to various people slightly differently anyway, you know, like if you're talking to your parents, you might talk to them differently to how you talk to your best friend, you know, for instance. So I think it's just about kind of looking at it and pitching it and trying to read the other person and pitching it right. So there's a whole thing around propriety. Do I look like, act like the part, you know, am I what you're expecting? Underneath it all, it is just around being human and having that human interaction.
I'm amazed how often we have to say that. Just be human. Since we're all humans, I mean, it shouldn't be this difficult, but I catch myself reminding people to do that as well. You know, how do we speak like a human? How do we talk like a human? Use terminology that humans actually use, you know, and I know sometimes marketing teams, and I've been guilty of that too, we use terminology that nobody ever uses. It's like, I know we don't currently fly anywhere, but when you go on an airplane, I mean, they use words no person other than them ever uses, right? Disembark an airplane. Like, who would ever say that? Or the plane, or whatever else they say, you know, stow your luggage. Like, who says that? Like, nobody except on a plane. So most of the content I create, I would say, is one it's to many, right? I have an idea of who I'm trying to reach and whatnot, but it's not necessarily specified for like one company or one person. But when you do that, when you do account-based marketing, I mean, it seems like it could take a lot of work, right? Because if I'm doing one content asset for many, you know, when I'm done, I'm done. But if I do the same thing for a number of companies, how do I scale that? And I know there is, you know, like, I mean, as simple as in Google Sheets, you know, you can write the same copy and it just updates it automatically for you and other tools. But how else can people think about scaling it?
Yeah. I suppose interestingly, some of the things can take a lot of time and, you know, time investment. But I think if you focus your marketing efforts and resources on the key accounts that are going to drive the most revenue, you're starting from a good place. There's a really good example. There's a tech company called GumGum, and they found out that the CEO of T-Mobile was a big Batman fan. And what they did was they created a comic book with him in it and, you know, kind of got their message across that way. Now, that's, you know, probably going to the extreme, but what a creative solution for that individual to get your business's message across with that content. And that won them the account, or that helped them to win the account. So that's at one extreme. And then how do you scale it? I think a lot of businesses use a tiered approach. So based on importance, so you have kind of, you know, tier one, this is, you know, super important, then tier two, and then you work on your strategy for those. So what are you going to run for each of those tiers? How much are you going to invest in tier one? How much are you going to invest in tier two? And then I think it comes down to, you know, segmentation. So you can look at personas. So we use personas, like I mentioned, sales, marketing, customer success. But there's all sorts of ways you can slice and dice, you know, data or information. So, you know, you can do industry segmentation. You could choose, you know, some businesses would want to use geographical segmentation or any number of other attributes. And I think, how do you scale it? I mean, there's a whole conversation around personalization at scale. And I know, obviously, we did the webinar a little while back, which spoke about that. So, you know, just obviously there's a whole, you know, 45 minute webinar on that. But, you know, things like dynamic emails. So sort of taking the hard work out for yourself when you're working with either, you know, personas or industry segmentation. Things like dynamic, you can have dynamic homepage. So there's a software called Webio, which will, again, using the same sort of technology with a reverse IP tracking, when your key account lands on your website, it can literally identify which they've come from and have a bespoke message just for them. So, you know, there are a number of different ways to scale it. Another one, I suppose, is, you know, gifting. So personalization, if, you know, we did a thing, and just a really simple thing like personalized mugs, you know, nothing amazingly groundbreaking, but people really like that they've got something that's personalized to them. And often if you do like a simple campaign like that, it's just a nice thing for someone to have. They'll share it on LinkedIn and create a whole conversation around, you know, the interaction and business. So, there's loads of different ways that you can scale it, but those are a few that kind of jump out straight away.
And are we seeing people are returning back to their office? I assume. Are we seeing it's easier again to send people things in the mail? I know there was a timeline when that was like, I mean, we did a show last year right when COVID started in about direct mail, right? And people had to really change the direct mail strategy because nobody was in the office, right? So if you were going to do direct mail, you better figure out how you send it to people's home address. So are you seeing that trend too, where people, I mean, I'm certainly seeing it, more and more people are moving back to the office, even though a lot of companies are still remote. But you need to know that, right, for the gifting part.
You do, yeah. So I mean, the funny thing, I suppose, with gifting is if people genuinely want the thing, if you're just gonna, fire out a load of stuff, kind of scattershot, then you probably struggle. But if you have something that people generally want, then they'll be pretty happy to say where they would like it sent. We've found anyway.
So that's a good distinction, because if you're just sending out stuff, they might not want it. But I don't know. I mean, I usually give people my address if I know who they are, but and they ask for it, but usually they offer it anyway. So we did have a whole show, Martin, on swag way back when, and I'm of course wearing the Business Storytelling podcast shirt, So I'm a somewhat believer in swag, and I think if it's done well, it works. And I wear other people's stuff when it looks good. But so that means you are a believer in swag too, or are you talking about other gifts here?
I mean, I was thinking of other gifts, but like I do know swag does tend to work. And my dad was in the music industry, which still kind of is a little bit, but semi-retired. And every all of the like, all of the roadies through to, people kind of at the top end of the business, they're all walking billboards for each other's products. They can get sent a t-shirt, they whack it on. It's just yeah, it definitely does. That definitely does work to some extent, but yeah, that's not
It
quite
did.
what we hear. But yeah, I can see that that would work.
Awesome. So, are you a fan of email in account-based marketing? Or so the other thing I was thinking about earlier too is when you pick your battles.
Yep.
So, for example, when I'm creating content for, that get used in all these different channels, and let's say a salesperson runs, a drip campaign or whatever with the content, and now the content help them close a deal. Let's say, I don't know, $80,000 deal. I mean, the content already paid for itself just with one sale. So that's very similar, right? In account-based marketing, because if you have, I mean, if you just close one of these big accounts, it already paid off.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you obviously with all these things, it's testing and learning and finding out what works and having a good handle on how much you're prepared to invest in this particular business or person or via this channel. And obviously you're going to need to see a reasonable return, but that's kind of for you to decide. You might decide, oh, we really need to go big with these guys, or the comic book example, for instance, like they've really like invested in that, time and money and all the rest of it. So come back to the original question, on email. Yeah, absolutely, definitely, email is a really good channel for us. And there's the whole conversation around earned and paid media as well. So if you can have people, as kind of warm leads that you have volunteered, yes, please talk to me about your thing. I mean,
About the upcoming discussion with other experts, who's joining us, and what's their expertise?
okay, sorry, I didn't get all of that because say the line broke up. But so the webinar, so kind of the part two of this webinar of how to win. So we've got really great speakers there from industries as well, because I think listeners, it's interesting to have different viewpoints. You've heard my viewpoint, people from different industries will have different ideas and different size companies as well. So that they'll come on and talk about what works for them. So I think for your listeners, viewers to take from it that's of value. So we have Karen Carter coming on, who is at Cvent, and she's the director of enterprise marketing. Cvent is a software as a service company that works in meetings and events. So it's a huge, like $700 billion turnover. Loads of employees. Who else we got? We've got Nick Bennett. He's coming on from a business called Alice. And they're a relatively young company. They founded not too many years ago. I think it was like 2015 maybe. And they offer DM and online gifting, so super useful for ABM. And they're a kind of, again, they're a smaller size business, but maybe they very relevant to the conversation around ABM, but you know, that's be interesting to see how they do it as well. And then we've got Kristen Norton, and she was on a webinar with us actually back in, I think, February. That was the secret to thriving in the new marketing, which is a really, really interesting talk. And she's a great speaker. She really knows her stuff. She's head of industry and ABM at Capita, and Capita are huge. So on that webinar, actually, she mentioned ABM, and I think she said, like, not many people are doing it very well. So we thought we'd invite her back and kind of get to talk in a bit more detail about her approach. So I think that'd be really interesting for kind of our audience and your audience, hopefully, as well.
Yeah, I remember her. She's fantastic. Excellent. Yep, and we'll see you as well. Martin, thanks for joining us. Looking forward to that discussion as well. Thanks, Warren, for tuning in. Really appreciate you.
Thanks.
That's a wrap. Thanks for tuning in. Please rate and review our show on your favorite podcast channels. And don't forget to share this episode with your networks. We appreciate you. Until next time, let the best stories win.
Hello. Hi. Are you still there? I have a special offer for you. Thanks for listening all the way to the end. My Going Live book is now available on Amazon.com. And if you're in the United States, I'm happy to send you a signed copy, which you can order at paypal.me/CTRAPPE/12. Thanks for your interest. If you're not in the United States, I can't send you a signed copy, but of course you can order on Amazon.com.